And take your Bible now, go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 21, last chapter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 21. We'll be reading this morning responsively verses 13 through verse 18. Before we read that together, I will read another passage of Scripture that you need not turn to, Jeremiah 3:15. You're in John chapter 21, verses 13 through 18. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now in John chapter number 21, I'll begin in verse number 13. You'll join me in verse 14. The Bible says, "Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Lord, you've done so much for us. We have no right to complain. Lord, to just be grateful is not even enough. But Lord, here we are again this morning, asking once again, Lord, please, that your Holy Spirit's power would do as it's done before. Lord, may today not just be another Sunday, but Lord, may today be special. Lord, because your presence is here again with us, Lord, working in our hearts. Lord, please, use the truth that has been prepared for us. We ask, Lord, that you'd use the message, Lord, to not just be something that we hear, but Lord, something that would be tucked away in our hearts, Lord, and be applied to our lives. We ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
If you'll give me the next 35, 40 minutes, I'd like to share something with you that is probably a little different than we normally would do in a Sunday morning church service, but I feel it appropriate on this day and where we're at in our church. If you'll just listen to me, I'd just like to pour my heart out to you for a little while here. Don't worry, everything's all right. Here in John chapter 21, Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. It's only been a few days since the resurrection, though. Just been a very few days. But it's interesting, he's talking to the disciples, and the disciples have quit the ministry. From the time of Calvary till about a week or so after Jesus resurrected, the disciples just left the ministry. The Bible says earlier in that chapter that they went a fishing. It didn't mean that they just took the boat out for recreational purposes. They went out to go make money in the fishing business again. They had gone back to what they had come from, and they were out making money. Now, Jesus understood their fears. Can you imagine traveling with Jesus for 3.5 years? And they crucified the leader, guess who they're going to come after next? You talk about sissy pastors that are afraid of the government and that they're afraid to speak up. Can you imagine after they killed one what they would do? Now, I'm not saying just because the church is closed that they got a sissy pastor, but I'll say this. There's a lot of preachers out there that do whatever the government says. May I say this? We're supposed to do God's will and obey the higher power. Now, listen to me very carefully. Jesus did not want the disciples quitting. He wanted them to see the church being built and revived, and churches, not just a church, but churches being built all around the world to propagate the gospel and get the gospel out around the world. Now, listen to me carefully. The disciples were preachers. They weren't just average Christians. They were the pastors, the assistant pastors. There's a movement in Christianity today talking about discipling converts. No, we're supposed to grow in grace. The disciples were the full-time Christian servants. You say, the Bible says if you're not willing to leave father and mother and brother and kindred, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Yeah, it's talking about going into the ministry, not talking about just getting saved and being a Christian. The ministry requires something that's much greater than that. Now, listen very carefully here. These were men of God who were going to be pastors. They're out fishing on a boat rather than being in the ministry. These are men who are supposed to take the gospel around the world that God would use to turn the world upside down, but they've quit the ministry and left. Some of you would never have chosen any of them to be your pastor, and yet God used them. Here they are making money fishing and quitting the ministry, and Jesus sees them, and he does what he had done before. He said, "Hey, fellas, you fished all night. Did you catch anything?" They said, "Shut up." He said, "How about you cast your net on the right side of the ship?" So they took one net out, and they drug it and pulled it back in, and there was 123 fish, I believe, in that net. And Peter says, "I know who did that last time. That's the Lord." The Bible says that he put his fisher's coat about him and jumped in the water and swam to shore while they drug the fish in. Jesus already had fish and bread broiling on the shoreline there. When they came ashore, he fed them. Now, I can imagine what the disciples were like when they got to shore. I imagine they were a little bit ashamed of themselves. Imagine they looked at Jesus and said, "Jesus, we're sorry." Imagine he looked at them and said, "Fellas, I thought that you were going to keep doing what we had been doing all along." "You're right, Lord, we're sorry." Can you imagine how awkward that must have been? He looks at Peter and he makes one of the most amazing statements in the Bible. He said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" He wasn't talking about the other disciples. He said, "Don't you love me more than these fish? Don't you love me more than making money?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Then go feed my lambs." Then he says, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Then go feed my sheep." And the third time Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's getting a bit frustrated and a bit concerned. And he says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And then he says, "Peter, feed my sheep." Now, God calls his children sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," Psalm 23. The Lord is our good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he calls us his sheep. He said, "My sheep, hear my voice." Jesus was telling Peter that he could prove his love to God by feeding the children of God spiritually. In other words, the preacher was to show God how much he loved him by how he cared for the needs of and how he fed the sheep, spiritual food. Now, Jesus said that these pastors show him how much we love him by how we care for the sheep. Jeremiah 3:15, Brother Josh read us a moment ago, says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Being a pastor is not just another job. May I say this? To God, being a pastor is kind of like a chief cook and bottle washer. He's to take care of the sheep, the children of God, to feed them and make sure they have their needs met. A pastor is to feed God's people and take care of their needs. I know no greater honor than to be a pastor. And honestly, I know no greater honor than to be the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. I can't tell you, my knees still get weak when people call me pastor or preacher. That is a very humbling term to me. It's not an arrogant term to me. It's an honor of all honors to stand between you and God and to give you what God gave me to give to you. Let me say this. I am no different than you are, though. I am a human being. I am not to be lifted up. The Bible says I will magnify mine office, though. The calling of being a pastor is not like being a mechanic or not like being an electrician or not like being a banker or a businessman. The call of being a pastor is something that has to be done by God himself. It is the highest calling that could be put on a human being. I mean that. I would have to step down to be president of the United States. Not because I think less of the president of the United States, I think that much of the calling of God in my life. Now listen to me. May I say something? I'm no different as a human being than you are, though. I'm just as much a sinner as you are. Amen. I have no nail prints. I don't stand between you and God as some superhuman being. I have the same desires and same sinful flesh as you have. But my job is that I spend time with him. He feeds me and I come back and I feed you. Amen. That's my job. Now, today is our first year anniversary in this building, not as a church. We're approaching 8 years as a church, but it's our first permanent building. Good night. We've been from two hotel rooms back and forth. Matter of fact, we rented extra rooms and did nurseries and Sunday school classes, and we started that way for months. Then we went to this building down the road here, the old IRS building. It's Tire Building now. We redid some of that, $9,000-$10,000 a month rent and bills, and we were there for several years, and we were trying to build, but there's just no way you could do that with that kind of rent going out, so we went to the luxurious accommodations of Aiken Center and spent several years there while we were buying this property and building on this property and fighting Jefferson County and fighting Jefferson County and fighting Jefferson County and still fighting Jefferson County. But we finally have got a place. We're no longer the Jews wandering in the wilderness with a tabernacle. We have built a permanent home. Amen. And God has been very good to us. But may I say something? Let me take the next 25 minutes or so, and I want to talk to you about what my job is as your pastor. I want to show you what my job is. Number one, we've got to understand, first of all, what is the church? The church, the word church is the word ecclesia. It means a called out assembly of born again people. It is a local assembly. There is no such thing. Mr. Schofield's wrong in his notes that there is a universal spiritual church. Every Christian does not make up the church. Okay? That's Catholic. That's what the word Catholic means. It means universal. Mr. Schofield was borrowing Catholic doctrine when he wrote that in his notes, just so you know. He may have been a theologian, but he was wrong theologically. The word church, Jesus said in Matthew 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it." And by the way, according to Ephesians 5:25, the Bible says that he bought and paid for the church with his blood. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In other words, it is his church, not my church. I've said it this way. I believe God's the pastor of this church. I'm just his assistant pastor. I was an assistant pastor for 23 years of my ministry, but I still feel like an assistant pastor. God's just pastoring it, and I'm taking orders from headquarters. You see, the church is a local assembly of called out believers. We pull together in one place to meet for the purpose of being fed the word of God, getting the gospel and getting equipped for it and taking it out to get other people saved. That's what the job of the church is, and that's what the church is. I believe personally that everybody ought to be the member of a church. Think that you ought to be an active member. Show up, be a part of it, give, serve where you can serve. I believe that the church is vital to a person's life. I won't tell you who, but there's a person or two in the room that would know the story. But a young man came by my office this week, and he wanted to get baptized. I said, good, I'm excited about it. I said, but Doc, I said, the first thing you need to know for sure is, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? He said, well, for sure? I said, for sure. He said, I'm not quite sure about that. And I got up from my desk, and I walked across to sat in the chair next to him and pulled out my New Testament, and I walked down the Romans Road with him. That young man bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Just as simply as you could. And by the way, not just as simple. I'm talking about a very sharp, very very intelligent young man. He said, didn't know it was that easy. I said, it's that simple. He said, so this baptism thing, I said, baptism's just like my wedding ring. I said, if I take my ring off, am I still married? He said, yeah. I said, if I wear it, though, people know I'm married. That's what baptism is, and you ought to do it. I said, with doing it, we can have you join the church. He said, it's that easy? I said, it's that easy. He said, well, let's do it. Amen. And we scheduled a date, and we're going to do it. Can I tell you something? Getting saved is easy. Joining the church is easy, but I think that we ought to join the church. It saddens me when I get people who call me and ask me to do funerals for them, and they say, well, we don't have a pastor. They didn't have a pastor, but we know you, and we know how much you care about people. Would you do it? What a sad thing to live and die in this world and not have a pastor. I can't imagine it. I'll be 53 years old this month, and I've been in church for 54 years. So that's not possible. I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched. Trust me, it's possible. I've had a pastor every week of my life since before I was born. And I've grown up. You say, well, that's just because that's all you know. No, that's scriptural. I believe that we ought to join and be a part of it. You say, well, I've been saved, and I've been baptized by immersion. Good. Then you can join the church by transfer or by Christian experience, whichever it is. But if you've been saved and never baptized, we can baptize you and get you in the church. It's not a big thing. By the way, it's a local church, not a universal church. Just because somebody's a member of another church somewhere else doesn't mean you're a member of this church. You're supposed to join the local assembly together. That way, by the way, we're finding out how important church is. There's Christians who are going to ruin their lives through all this pandemic stuff, staying at home, isolated, away from church, having the virtual church. The government's saying, well, the churches can find another way to meet. Not the government's job. And you're going to watch good people, young Christians who started coming to church, they'll end up ruining their lives because they've been out of church for 2 and 3 months. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I don't go to a virtual church, I go to a real church. Amen. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun right now. Isn't it amazing? The universal church doesn't talk about universal tithing. They want you to give real money. So we first have to understand there's a church. Second of all, God set it up so that a pastor is to lead the church with God being the head of it. I am not the head of Grace Baptist Church. Now, on the legal documents, I am, and on the stationery, it says, I am. But God is to be the head of the church, not me. I can die, God's not gonna. The word of God will never change. Everybody doing okay? The word pastor, it's a very interesting word. The word pastor literally means, and you can look it up in the Hebrew, you can look it up in the Greek, you can look at it in English. It means shepherd. It means to tend sheep or to graze sheep. Isn't it interesting that Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. In Jeremiah 3:15, God says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Feed you. Graze you. Can I tell you something? You may not like all the food that comes across here, but it'll help you. I got to tell the story. I've never been one that like cooked vegetables. I can eat just about any vegetable raw, but I don't like them cooked. Just something about mushy vegetables. It just doesn't do well with me. I'm sorry. Now, I eat some of them cooked, but I still have to choke some. But there's nothing, virtually very little worse than cooked peas to me. All right? It's like somebody squeezed a rabbit and they turned green. It just, I don't like cooked peas. Now, I like snow peas and stuff on my salads, and I can pop them down raw, but don't cook them things. I was a kid, and when I was growing up, my dad's sitting in the car, my mom right now, you can go out in the parking lot later, and you can ask him. But we had to take something of everything mom made, and if it was on your plate, you had to finish it. Like it or lump it, and you sat there till it was gone. Well, I remember I ate everything but those peas. And dinner was done, dishes were done, and I'm still sitting at the table staring at them. My brother's out playing. My dad said, you don't get up for that table till you eat those things. Well, as all good little Baptist kids, I waited till everybody wasn't looking. We had cushions on those hard wood chairs. I lifted up that cushion and I'll come back later and get rid of them things because I know dad's going to check the trash can. So I hollered, I was done with it. He said, all right. He looked in the trash can, they weren't there. I put my stuff in the sink or washer or dishwasher, whatever it was, and took off. You know, I forgot about them things. And a couple days later, mom was cleaning. Guess what she found? Well, she didn't tell me that she found them. But she told my dad when he came home that day. Let's just say we had a Board of Education meeting. The Board of Education was applied to the seat of knowledge. Man, I got a whooping for that, like you wouldn't believe. Can I tell you something? I may not like them, and I may not like everything I have to preach, but it's part of the diet that you're going to get. It's my job to feed you. It's my job to tend the sheep here at Grace Baptist Church. In other words, I am supposed to feed you spiritually from that book. By the way, not feed you from my words, feed you from his words. Not feed you from my opinion, but feed you from his opinion. Not as I see it or as culture sees it, but as God sees it. It may be strong, it may be pungent, but just choke it down. It'll help you, I promise you. There are three titles given to a pastor in the Word of God. One is pastor. It means shepherd. The other is the word bishop. Bishop is not a separate title. It's part of being a pastor. The word bishop means administration or business. And then thirdly, that of elder. Elder means counselor. means person of wisdom. So a pastor is not only supposed to feed, but he's supposed to be able to lead the business of the church, and he's also to be wise enough to counsel you and help you with your needs. That is my job as pastor. I'm supposed to be pastor, bishop, and elder. Those are not three separate things. They're one. Those are the three titles of pastor, the three jobs of pastor. So it's my job. By the way, we have deacons and trustees here. Our trustees are men who can legally sign documents. I don't sign any checks. We have men who sign things. We have deacons here. They're to help me and in the work of the Lord here. But the deacons don't run the business of the church. That's my job. You can go in a lot of churches and you have a board that runs the business. It's the pastor's job. Amen. Church finances are different than world finances, trust me. But may I say this? My job is to not be a dictator. It's to lead. By the way, that's why we lead the way we do around here. Now, let me teach you something. The church members are what God calls sheep. Not real glorious, but it's sheep. My job is to feed you and to tend you and to get you to the right food and get you to the right water, make sure that you're cared for, keep the wolves away from you and protect you. That's my job. It's your job as sheep to stay in the fold and reproduce in the fold. What's reproducing? Soul winning. What's reproducing? Bringing up people to church. That's what your job is. My job is to take care of you. Now watch this. There is a parable in the Bible about a lost sheep. You're going to be my lost sheep, so you look more like a coyote, but it's all right. The Bible says that there was a man that had 100 sheep, but one of them went wandering astray. Now watch this. Let me teach you something very valuable about this. The Bible says that the shepherd went after the sheep and brought him back to the fold. And if you really study the story, you find out that sheep ran away again. And he kept running away to the point where after he ran away enough, he took him and he broke its leg. I'm not going to do that. For more than one reason. And put him on his shoulders, and I'm not going to do that either, and carried him home to the safety. Why did he break his leg? To keep him from running away again. Now, hang on. Here's the problem with it. In the church, this is what happens. Somebody that you love goes astray, and if you're not careful, you'll go chasing after them. But for you to go chase a stray sheep, guess what? You become stray yourself. It's my job to go after the stray ones. I have the ability to fight the wolves and the lions and all those things that would attack him and bring him back. If you go out there, you'll become stray yourself. Be careful. When somebody starts straying away, let the preacher know. Let Brother Josh know. We'll go after them. You stay in the fold. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. That way you don't get messed up. You've been in the ministry long enough to see that happen. I could give you a list as long as this platform is wide of people that have done that. Well, that's my best friend. I'll go after him, and you end up getting stuck by the wolf too. It's the shepherd's job to go after the stray sheep, not the sheep's job. Thank you. You can have a seat there. Big bad wolf. Now, I don't say that because I don't think that you're a bad person. I don't think that you're unspiritual. But I've seen enough in this world that even good Christians who go after stray sheep, they end up getting hurt by it.
Right.
I promise you. So part of my job is to get the stray sheep and bring them back to the fold. That's why we're a hospital, not a museum. Say why? Because they get beaten up and bloodied and get torn up. We got to show them back together and put them on our shoulders and haul them back in and say, everything's all right. By the way, when we bring them back through the door, don't laugh at them because they're all tore up, because you're going to be the next one tore up if you hadn't been already. Should we show your scars? This is a place that they come back to. We ought to be happy when they come back, not critical. Everybody doing okay? That's why it'd be a cold day where the booger man lives before one of our young people makes a mistake and I stand them up here and tell you all the bad things they did. Well, we got to tell everybody. You're just a gossip and want no bad news. Well, you're just trying to push things under the carpet. I don't have to go under the carpet. It's under the blood. You don't need to know what they did that was wrong. Let's bring you up and tell everybody what you've done in your past. Everybody doing all right? Say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about that. See, it's our job to take care of the sheep. You let the staff, you let Brother Josh and I right now, and as we grow our church and bring more staff on, you let us take care of those that are going astray, but you stay here, you stay in it, you keep doing what you're supposed to do, not worried about those that aren't here right now, we'll go after them. If you get concerned, let us know. We'll go after them. Trust me. It'd be like snot on a booger. Here I go. Oh, that wasn't a good illustration, but anyway. We're supposed to be, you're to be the sheep. By the way, I'm no better than you. God just made my calling to make sure that I stay close enough to him to be able to feed you. I'm not to be El Papa, the Pope. You're not supposed to come confess your sin to me and me confess it to God. No, you got direct access to him. That's why the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. You are priests of God yourself. You talk to him. Wasn't it nice of the Pope recently that during the pandemic, because of social distancing, he gave people the ability to talk to God directly and not go through him? Oh, wow. Wasn't that generous of him? Boy, a guy like that, a guy you could trust, didn't it? So, number one, we're to be a part of the church. Number two, God set up the pastor as the head of the church. And number three, let me show you how I'm supposed to feed you. Are you ready? Jeremiah 3:15 says that I'm supposed to have the heart of God to feed you what he would feed you. I hope someday you understand how much I love you. Say why? Because I love him. And I'd like to give you what I get from him. See, part of my job is to walk close with God. I am to walk close enough to him to know his heartbeat. I'm to walk close enough so that when he says something that I say, that's what they need. That's what they need. I have to be close to him for you. When the bad time comes, I don't have time to say, give me a couple weeks to get close to God and let's get an answer. Oh no. I've got to be in step with him so that as things happen, I can be there for you to give you what he would give you. By the way, I have to know him so that I know what he wants for you. By the way, I'm not supposed to give you my opinion. I'm supposed to give you his words. Well, I know what the preacher's going to say. He's going to open the Bible. Yep. Can't get any better than what God said. I live in that book. I average 2 to 3 times a year reading through it and then thousands of hours of study in it every year. Thousands. I spend hours a day in it. Say why? So I can feed you from him, not from me. My job is to feed you from him, not from me. Say why, preacher? Because I'm a sinner like you are and my food's not going to be any better than yours. If I can feed you from the eternal word of God, guess what? Wow, that's good stuff. Some need milk. Some need bread. Some need meat. Notice God never talked about the word of God being a veggie. Thank you, Jesus. Did you ever notice when he came back after the resurrection, he ate meat and bread? Amen. He didn't eat vegetables. He ate meat and bread. Noah didn't bring vegetables on the ark. God spared the animals. Amen. You say, why? For man to eat. You say, well, you can eat all the veggies you want. I like them too. But God made meat and taters too. Veggies have their place right next to the meat and taters. Wait a minute. God says that I'm supposed to feed you with his heart. I am supposed to know his heart well enough to where I can give you what he wants you to have. Oh, I have many sermons ready. I just keep saying, God, I've got a bunch of sermons that I'm working on, and kind of like you ladies, you fill up the pantry and you fill up the refrigerator and the freezer, and then you decide what your family needs and pull it out of there and fix them what they need. That's exactly what pastoring is. You fill up the pantry and let God help you and guide you along the way to know which one to pull out and when to preach it. Everybody doing okay? According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me read some verses to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hang on here. It is in the Bible. I just hadn't got there yet. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Bible says this: I charge you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound like today? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Sounds like the churches in our country today. Let's tell you a funny story and a sad story, make you laugh and cry, and you give lots of money. No, the Bible says I'm supposed to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Listen to me. Part of my job is to preach the word with sound doctrine. I am not the best preacher in the world. I understand that. But I'll promise you one thing. I'll give you sound doctrine. You're looking at a man that understands Bible doctrine the way God wrote it. That's not arrogance. I just know for the last 40 years, I've studied doctrine and I know Bible doctrine. Say why? Because that's how I feed God's people. So I'm supposed to preach sound doctrine. Number two, I'm supposed to, the Bible uses the word reprove. Do you know what that word is? It means correct. That means there are people in this room, you've been taught things the wrong way and I'm supposed to correct it. There are people that have grown up in different churches and under different doctrines that some of this will be new to you as you grow in the Lord, but I promise you one thing, it's Bible, not what a church says. Amen. So I have to correct that which was wrong. For instance, Good Friday. There is no such thing as Good Friday in the Bible. Jesus did not get crucified on Friday and resurrect on Sunday. There's not 3 days and three nights. Palm Sunday, yeah. Do you know what Jesus did on Palm Sunday after they threw palm fronds down? Made a cat of nine tails, went in and kicked the businessmen out of the church for making money in the church over preaching the word of God. Then they crucified him on Wednesday. Now, so I'm to correct things. Then it says rebuke. The word rebuke means warn. In other words, my job is to warn you what will destroy you out there. The Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He goes about trying to find people that he can devour. It's my job to warn you of the tricks of the devil. Recently, I preached a whole sermon on that we ought not be ignorant of the devil's devices. You say, what is that? That's rebuke. That's warning you. Hey, that's you young people warning you. Hey, you better live right and date right, or you're going to mess your life up. That's me telling everybody, be careful who your friends are. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. Better pick the right friends or you're going to go the wrong direction. Guarantee it. That's what rebuking is. And then the word exhort, that means to build up. That means to encourage. That means to help fix things so that you're strong enough to make it in life. Now, God says, according to 2 Timothy 4, that as a pastor, as a preacher, I am to preach sound doctrine. I am to reprove, rebuke, exhort. Then Jeremiah 10:21 says, I'm not supposed to be brutish. In other words, I'm not supposed to just bull my way through and tell everybody what they're supposed to do. You know, God doesn't come down and grab you by the back of the head and slap your head in the altar and say, bless God, you do this. Oh, I know a lot of preachers that try that mess. My job is to preach the truth and let the word of God work on you, not me. I believe in living right. I believe we ought to dress right, walk right, talk right, act right. I don't think that we ought to cuss. I think that we ought to not smoke, not drink, not do all the things of the world. We ought to come out of the world and be separate. But I'll be patient with people wherever they're at and bring them closer to the Lord. I'm not supposed to get up in front of church and tell somebody, well, I saw somebody doing this and bless God. That's a bunch of trash. That's called being a gossip. That's called being brutish. The word brutish means like two bulls pushing and shoving each other. Brutish means losing my cool and getting into fist fights with everybody because they disagree with me. I'm not going to get in an argument. Now, somebody comes after my wife or my kids, I'm going to defend. Somebody come in here to attack our church, I'm going to defend. We've got security set up here, and we've got somebody that's watching cameras all the times here. We've got folks here that are able to handle weapons and different things. And trust me, we've got everything under control. You're safe. You say, well, preacher, would you kill someone in self-defense? Yes, I'm commanded to. I'm to protect the sheep. I'll kill a wolf anytime. Coyotes, if I can see them, I would too. I'm not to be a brutish person. I know a preacher. I won't give you his name. He's a wild maniac kind of preacher. I mean, he's just one of these people that just, you know, he's rude, crude, rough. You know, he believes that every sodomite ought to be shot with a shotgun and tell the world they died of chicken pox. All right, that's the kind of stuff he'll preach. That's called being brutish. By the way, he fights in mixed martial arts and then preaches on the weekends. Okay. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Absolutely. That's what the Bible says, not to be brutish. Now, if you watch mixed martial arts, that's one thing. But I don't. It has no appeal to me. People run around in underwear fighting each other. Just doesn't, you know, two hogs in one sack fighting just doesn't do much for me. Amen. It just something about it doesn't work for me. But I'm not supposed to be that kind of mentality. I'm against sodomites. I'm against sodomy, but I'll win every one of them to Christ. I can. I'll give every one of them the gospel. There's such a thing as hating sin but loving sinners. So I'm not to be brutish. Number next, Jeremiah 12, 10 and 11 says, I'm not supposed to destroy the vineyard. Let me read some verses to you. Jeremiah chapter 12, hang on here, verses 10 and 11. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth me, and the whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. In other words, they take what they can from the people to build themselves, destroy it, and go somewhere else. Folks, I'm not here to take anything from you. I'm supposed to put something into you. My job is not for you to serve me. My job is for me to serve you. I am to be putting things into you, not taking things from you. The church provides my wife, me a comfortable salary for my wife and I in which to live. We're not making millions of dollars, trust me. It's a comfortable salary. Matter of fact, it's probably below what most of you live on. Say why? That's the way I want it. Because it's my job to serve you, not be served by you. We had our men's prayer breakfast yesterday. Man, I enjoyed being with our men yesterday. It was good to have prayer breakfast again. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I ate a while, walked around and picked up plates and threw them away, tried to get guys coffee or juice, whichever they wanted. Say, why? Because that's my job. And I love it. I heard many of our guys, oh, no, preacher, I'll get it. Nope, I got it. Say, why? Because it's my job to serve, not be served. I'm not supposed to sit at the head table and have everybody bring everything to me. I'm not King Tut. I'm not supposed to be that way. I'm supposed to be the one serving, not the one being served. Jeremiah 22 verses 21 and 22 said that I'm not supposed to let prosperity destroy us. I've watched a lot of preachers struggle in their early years and grow and build and grow and build, and they get to a level of success and the success goes to their head and they're worthless and they change. Folks, can I tell you something? I'm too stubborn and too old to change now. I'm not changing no matter if we have the biggest church in town or the smallest church in town. I'm preaching the word of God based on the word of God, not what how big the crowd is or how much money's brought in or how fancy the building is. Amen. It's not dependent on the finances. I don't change the message based on the finances. I'm not to let prosperity go to our heads. We better always be the little country church, even though we're going to be a big country church. Everybody doing okay? Building number two on the way. We'll finish filling this one up and start building another one. Say why? Because I believe in reaching everybody we can, but when we get too big for our britches, you're going to have troubles. We better not get too big for ourselves. We better not get so big that, well, we don't need those bus kids. Bless God, we need those bus kids. They're as important a part of this church as anybody else is. I wrote them all a personal letter this week and put a picture of our new bus in it and had Mrs. Lopez take a gift to each one of them this week. They were, can we come to church this Sunday? Not yet. Waiting for your governor to lighten things just a hair before it's safe. I miss them. You look out here on that video screen and they wanted to be a part of our big day today, so Mrs. Lopez took pictures of them, and they have happy anniversary signs. And say why? Because they love their church, and we love them. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4 says that I'm to keep the flock healthy and reproducing and not scatter them, make them afraid to serve God. The Bible talks about in Jeremiah 23, woe be to the pastors that scatter the sheep. There are people sitting in this room under my voice right now. You've had a pastor in your past that has hurt you. And he scattered you. I'm not supposed to do that. Now, I may say something that makes you mad, but it'll be from God, not from me. Don't take it up with me. I'm just the mailman. I'll preach the truth. If the truth offends you, that's one thing. But when my disposition offends you, I better fix it. I'm not supposed to live better than you. I'm supposed to help you live your life as close to God as you can. Amen. That's what it's for. I'm not supposed to be angry and fear. You mowed your grass, but you didn't come mow mine. No. I don't want you to mow my grass. Matter of fact, I mow my neighbor's grass. Are we doing okay? Say why? Aren't I supposed to serve? My neighbor across the street from me. Wednesday night before church, he texted me. He said, I got a flat tire. I said, are you on the road or at home? He said, it's in my garage. He's 80 years old. I ran across the street. I said, do you have a donut tire? He said, I do. I said, I can't fix it all right now, but I can change it for you. I had my suit pants on, my dress shirt on. I did take my tie and coat off, praise the Lord. And he said, well, pastor, you got your suit on. I said, it's okay. I've done worse than change a tire in a suit, trust me. I said, I've gutted a deer in the suit, so this is nothing. I popped the nuts loose. We got that stupid scissor jack. And whoever invented the one he has is needs to be shot. You can do a half a turn at a time, and you got to... Did you ever try to jack an entire van up with a half a turn at a time? I was going crazy. Finally got that thing up, got the tire off, got the donut tire on, tightened it up, dropped it back down, tightened it up again, threw it in his vehicle. I said, I got to go clean up and run to church. I said, but I'll help you later or tomorrow if you need me to help you get it somewhere. He said, it's okay. He said, I got to take these to the dealer. He said, it's just the way the vehicle's made. Ended up costing him $236 for a tire. God bless him. But he told me, he said, I can't believe you came over in your suit and changed tire. I said, why? He said, I got to be careful what I ask you. I said, no, if you need something, I'll be there. Say why? Because isn't that what it's supposed to be like? So, we're not supposed to scatter the sheep. Let me say this in conclusion. Let me give you my commitment to you for the rest of my life. I'll do my best to walk closer to God and love you and feed you the best I can from Him. I promise you. I'll continue to preach pure Bible, the King James Bible, with a clear and healthy as a diet as I can give you. I promise you. I'll continue to see that we get the gospel to every person we possibly can. My job is not just to feed, but it's also to have more sheep. We're supposed to get the gospel out. Then I'll do my best to meet your needs and the needs of your family. If you're in the hospital or going to the hospital, let me know. If you're sick, let me know. If you have a loved one that is passing or has passed, you let me know. If you need me to do a funeral, I'm there. By the way, I don't charge for funerals. I refuse to accept money for a funeral or a wedding. That's my job. I'm not going to take money for something I already get paid for. I have people all the time offering me money and said, you can send it to the church, but don't give it to me. I said, we'll take a donation to the church, but it's not going to me. I'm not taking it. Say why? Because I love people. I'm not supposed to go preach funerals as a side job. I'll promise you, we'll have loving, compassionate funerals. If you've ever been to my funeral, I work at them. We'll have loving and compassionate funerals. I mean weddings. they'll be tender. They'll be sweet. There'll be laughter in both. I'll counsel you. If you have a need, business need or personal need or relationship need, whatever it is, marriage, parent, children, teenagers and adults, they always need help. Something happens to a kid when they hit junior high, their brain falls out their ear for a few years. And some of them find part of it and none of them ever find the whole thing. But I'll continue to give you everything I can of me. Next, I'll continue to pray for you every day as an honor. It's not a chore to me, it's an honor. And next, I'm here to serve you in any way that I can. My wife and I are here to serve you. Now, just so you know, my wife doesn't hear all the bad stories. I don't go home. My wife's not my assistant pastor. My wife doesn't hear all the negative. She doesn't know any of that. She finds out the negative when you do. I don't tell her. Say why? Because she'd be depressed, and who would I have to go home to encourage me? I don't tell my wife all the things that happen. You say, preacher, you don't? No, I don't. That's why she's happy. I want you to have a happy pastor's wife. It's my job to carry the load, not hers. But may I say this, we're here to help you any way we can. Grace Baptist Church is an amazing, miraculous work of God. I want everyone in our church to be part of the blessing. And I'd like our church to be continue to get blessings from God this way. I want you to know the God for whom this church exists. You see, my goal is so that you start feeding yourself a little bit. So that you walk with God yourself a little bit. I want you to feed spiritually so that you would like to get things from Him yourself. When you start getting things from Him, doesn't mean that you have to quit going to church, though. Trust me, you need church. May I be arrogant? You need our church. Amen. I'm not afraid to say it. I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't think we didn't have the best church. I can guarantee you one thing, God's presence is here.
Yes, sir.
God's hand is on it.
Amen.
God wants to work in our hearts and our lives, and we're seeing Him do it.
Amen.
I just, I'm one of those guys, I like being where the action is. I don't like watching it. I want to be in the middle of it. You know, put me under the spout where the blessing comes out. Amen. I like being a part of it. I'd like you to be a part of it. On our 1 year anniversary in this building, I told you what my job is and how I'm going to approach it and continue to do and do more of. I'll give you every hour, every moment I can, and then some. You never have to wonder, does the preacher care? Yes. I care about your heartache. I care about whatever is important. Miss Wally's dog died a week ago. I went and buried her dog for her. I dug the hole and buried her puppy for her. Say why? Because that's what my job is, isn't it? Now, if you have a horse, I'm not digging a hole. Unless you got a big backhoe, all right? I'll do it then, but I ain't digging it with a shovel. I'm just putting the limits up already, all right? We're renting equipment for that one. But did you know that that's as important to me as anything? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? That's what our church is all about. That's what our church is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. There's a lot of churches that have a preacher, there's a lot of churches that have a man called pastor, but I'd like Grace Baptist Church to have a church that has an actual pastor the way God says it. I'll do my best. I promise you. I just ask that you jump in line. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray. Maybe you just need to decide you're going to jump in line and just be a good, obedient sheep to God.